The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas, adapted for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. Emilie Latouche has confessed to her cousin, Annette, that she has planned to elope that night with Captain Renault. Annette, who dislikes Captain Renault because of the joking remarks he had made about her stoutness, is not at all pleased when she hears this news. Already she has written an anonymous letter to Emilie's fiancé, Louis Prevost, telling him to come back from Corsica, since Emilie is being seen with this captain. And now she sits and listens to Emilie's plan.
Does it surprise you? I'm almost speechless.
So was I, after I made the decision yesterday.
You only planned this yesterday.
Yes. Captain Chateau Renault persuaded me. Of course, he's asked me to elope before, but I've refused. But last night, somehow, when his arms were around me and his face so close, his voice whispering in my ear, and when his lips were on my cheek, whether it was the madness of the moment or whether it is, Annette, that I'm in love, really in love for the first time in my life, I don't know. But here I am today, planning to elope with Paul tonight.
Well, you're crazy.
I don't think so. He's so fabulously rich, even richer than gossip says. I'm to have a long ermine cloak when we reach England.
England? You're going to England?
Yes, just for a few months, until the scandal dies down. Then, when people have forgotten, Paul will come back and beg my father's forgiveness. I'll be waiting at Toulon, perhaps outside Toulon on one of his ships. When Papa realizes that Paul can buy me anything in the world I want, he'll forgive me.
How can you dare do such a thing?
Poor love, and you want me to help you?
Yes.
All you have to do is to stand guard for tonight. Just to give Paul and I time to reach Toulon on his ship. Once we're on the high seas, we're safe.
But you will marry. You must get married.
Oh, of course. There's a preacher at Toulon. Paul has arranged it all. Oh, Annette, I'm so excited. My heart, my spirit, my very being is soaring high in the heavens like a bird. I go higher and higher. And then I look down and down. And like the bird, I see a panorama of my life as it will be. Clothes, jewels, town coaches, country coaches, traveler, and more important than anything else, Paul, strong and handsome and big.
I won't have anything to do with it.
Oh, Annette, please. I'll do anything for you if you'll help me. I'll even find you a husband.
That's what you said when Captain Chateau Renault came to town, before you started taking an interest in him. You said he would make a husband for me.
But you're not jealous. Surely you're not jealous. You don't like him. If you don't help me, Annette, we'll never be friends after this. When I come back to Paris with Paul, when everything has been forgiven, and I'm the mistress of a huge mansion, you shan't be invited. If you don't help me, you're just a horrid, jealous, tight-lipped little pig.
Emily!
You are, standing between me and everything that I want in the world. Oh, Annette, please.
Well, if you put it that way, I won't have anything to do with the elopement, mind you, but if Aunt Alicia comes to kiss you goodnight, I'll say you're asleep. I'll see that your elopement is not discovered till the morning.
It was most begrudgingly that plain Annette consented to be a party to the plan. But her shrewd mind realized that the beautiful Emilie might one day find her a husband. Jealousy and envy fought with fright that she might indeed be an old maid. And Annette in the past had always lived in the reflected glory of Emilie's beauty and personality. Meanwhile, Louis de Franchi, as we know him now, was already leaving Toulon in a coach and was on his way to Paris to see Emilie, his beloved. Beside him sat his friend, Pierre Gaudet, and Louis talked excitedly as the horses thundered along the road towards the French capital.
It seems an age since I've seen her, Pierre.
But she's never been out of your mind.
Never. And when she sees this letter, this filthy letter, which links her name with that of this captain, oh, I'll find out who wrote it, Pierre, if it's the last thing I do.
I wonder how your mother is, Louis. Whether there's any sign of your brother.
I wonder.
Have you ever thought what your brother might be like? In character, I mean. Of course, he's the image of you in features.
Yes, I want to meet my brother as soon as possible. I feel somehow that he'll be the answer to my every question. Where I feel I'm lacking, he'll make up for it. And where he's lacking, perhaps I may help. I feel somehow that together we shall be strength, Lucien and I.
And what about Emilie? Where will she fit into this family picture?
She'll be one of the family, of course. A sister-in-law to Lucien, a wife to me. My wife. Oh, Pierre, how wonderful those words sound. What meaning they have when you know the woman who's to bear that name. My wife. My lovely, guileless, angelic wife, Emilie.
Oh, Mother, if you only knew the thrill of sitting here in this room once again, seeing you there by the windows, watching the fire roaring in the hearth, and the table with the glass and silver.
Supper will be most welcome after our long ride. You look very tired, Lucien.
I am tired, but I'm happy.
I think a brandy might help. It was really too long a ride for you. You are not well yet.
Well enough to escape. That is all that matters.
Now, I will pour you a brandy, and while you drink it, I will tell you a story, Lucien. I have told you that there was to be a surprise for you, a great surprise.
Yes, Mother. I've been wondering. I thought perhaps that our visitor might have come back.
Visitor?
Monsieur Godet.
Oh, yes. Monsieur Godet, he did come back, Lucien. He brought someone with him.
My brother Louis?
Yes. Oh, Lucien. It is uncanny, the likeness. When we thought that you were dead, when I stood here in this room, grief welling in my heart, Louis came, and every minute of the day I had to keep telling myself that it wasn't you.
Is he at the Franchi, Mother?
Our blood could never fail us, my son. He has not had your rough upbringing. His are the ways of Parisian society. But he is a fine lad, gentler than you, but with noble thoughts.
Where is he now?
Gone back to Paris. He is very much in love, Lucien.
In love?
Yes. You wouldn't understand, perhaps, since there has never been a woman yet in your life. But he is completely wrapped up in a girl called Emilie Latouche. He talks of her all the time, never ceases thinking about her. And now, because someone has written an unpleasant letter, he has rushed off to Paris to defend her name.
In love.
But he will be back very soon. Oh, he is so anxious to meet you, Lucien.
In love.
What is the matter, Lucien? Is that all you can say? I've explained that he is in love, desperately in love with Mademoiselle Latouche. Perhaps we shall meet her, and then we can judge for ourselves. There is one extraordinary thing I have discovered, Lucien. There is an affinity between you.
An affinity?
Yes. It was through this bond of twins, this telepathic something between you, that I knew you were not dead. At the time you were stabbed, Louis received the same pain in Paris.
Oh, Mother, you're joking.
I don't joke about such things, my son. When I talked with him further, when I discovered that the history of your twin ancestors had not been repeated, that there had been no vision, I knew then that you were alive.
That proves that we share our joys and our sorrows. Is that right, Mother?
At times of great emotion, yes. Well, my son, I have talked long enough, and Maria will be waiting with the supper. I will go and call her and tell her that we are ready. And Grifo. Maria! Grifo! Maria! Grifo!
We share our greatest joys, our greatest sorrows, our greatest emotions. Love. Love. Maria.
What is the time now, Annette? Run to the door. Look in the other room.
Oh, this valise will never be packed.
It's almost nine.
Almost nine. And at 9 o'clock, the carriage will be waiting on the other side of the street.
My heart is beating so hard. Oh, Emilie, I feel that something frightful will happen.
Don't do this thing. Please don't do it.
My mind is made up, and my valise is packed. What is more, the carriage will be waiting. I will remember you, Annette, when it's all over. You have helped me so much. Just fancy Papa wanting to come and say goodnight to me. You handled him perfectly.
I could hardly find my voice with fright.
I promise you a diamond pin from England. That will show my gratitude, darling. Now, quickly, my brushes and comb.
Oh, here they are.
And the mirror.
Oh, you never fit the mirror in. What is more, it might break. And if it broke, that would be bad luck. They could never be bad luck for me. Not with Captain Renault. Oh. Oh. See who it is. It's probably the housekeeper, wanting to know about breakfast in the morning. With a room in such disorder, don't let her in whatever you do.
All right.
Good evening, Annette.
Louis Prevost.
Yes, Annette. You're surprised to see me.
Oh, yes, very.
I've come to see Amélie.
But Amélie wasn't expecting you.
No, and I haven't even paid my respects downstairs. However, it's such an urgent matter that I must see her at once.
What is it about?
It's private, Annette. Something very private and urgent. If you tell Amélie that I'm here.
I am in Amélie's confidence. Is it about Captain Renault?
Why, yes, Annette. How did you know?
I know a great many things. Perhaps you'd better go and talk with Amélie herself. She's in there. Go inside.
As Louis Prevost walked quickly into the room, Annette shut the door sharply. Her resentment for Captain Chateau Renault still burned. From this meeting might come the opportunity to cheat Captain Renault of Amélie after all. What will happen when Amélie is confronted by her betrothed on the eve of her elopement? Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers. Thank you.